And I want to speak just for a few minutes today on the subject, giving too much. Giving too much. And I am in Exodus chapter 35. If you're there today, say amen. All right. It's going to be a minute before we read, so if I could have your attention, please. There are two great offerings in the Old Testament. Are you listening today? There are two great offerings in the Old Testament that were received for projects that God ordained. Both of them were for the building of worship centers. Now, we are meeting here today in a worship center. These offerings were taken up for the building of worship centers. Now, the first one was the tabernacle. The second one was the temple. Now, God always uses human leadership. And so, in the first project, God used a man by the name of Moses. In the second project, God used King David. Now, listen. If all we had in the Bible concerning giving were these two offerings, they would be enough to teach us what God wants us to know about the subject. If all we had were these two offerings in the Old Testament to read about concerning stewardship, by the way, stewardship is managing the resources that God has put in your hands. If all we had were these two examples, we would know what God wants us to know about stewardship. Now, in the case of the tabernacle, it was a multi-million dollar project by today's standards. In the case of the temple, it was a multi-billion dollar project by today's standards. And in both cases, the offerings were enough to get the job done. As a matter of fact, in the case of the tabernacle, the people actually gave too much. Moses had to stand up and Moses had to preach a reverse stewardship sermon. Moses actually had to stand up and say, folks, I need you to quit giving because the stuff that you're giving is starting to pile up. It's getting in the way, and quite frankly, we've got more than we know what to do with. Could you imagine if I got up on a Sunday morning and preached a sermon like that? What would you think if I got up on a Sunday morning and said, folks, I really need you to stop giving for a while. The money's starting to pile up. It's getting in the way. We don't know what to do with it. We've just got more than we need. Could you imagine that? That is exactly what Moses did. Now, what I want to do, even though this offering happened years ago, thousands of years ago, the principles are the same. Every once in a while, someone will say, I don't think a New Testament preacher ought to preach out of the Old Testament. Well, here's my response to that. Number one, the Old Testament's the Word of God too. And number two, God's principles never change. Now, I understand not all of the Old Testament was written to us, but it was all written for us. And even those parts that weren't necessarily written to us, the principles still apply. Now, God's methods change. The way God deals with people changes throughout the dispensations. But the principles never change. And so I want to show you the principles that still apply to you and I today. First, let's read about the offering. We are in chapter 35, and notice verse 4. I am in Exodus 35 and verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger's skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. All right, principle number one, the need was God-caused. That's our first principle today. The need was God-caused. Here's what I mean by that. It wasn't Moses' idea to build this tabernacle. It wasn't his brother Aaron's idea to build this tabernacle. It wasn't the congregation's idea to build this tabernacle. Listen, this tabernacle that they're receiving an offering for, it was God's idea. It was God that originated this idea. It started in the heart of God. Go back, if you would, a few pages to chapter 25. You're in chapter 35. Go back to chapter 25 and notice what it says in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 25. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to show you that the need was God-caused. If you're there, say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring, next word, me an offering, and every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. And I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but I want you to notice that this idea, are you listening? It was God's idea. The same God that brought them out of slavery in Egypt after 400 years. The same God that parted the Red Sea so they could cross on dry ground. The same God that gave them the right to the promised land now desires a place where he can meet them in worship. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Chapter 25 in verse number 8. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary. Read it out loud. That I may what? That I may dwell among them. It is God that desires this meeting place. And you'll read that after it was finished, the manifest presence of God just filled that place. This need was God caused. Well, you say, preacher, how does that apply to us? All right, draw up close and listen. I don't put our buildings on the same level as the tabernacle, and I'm not trying to put our buildings on the same level as the temple, but I will say this. I believe that the things that Brother Tom just mentioned, I believe that the need here at Westwood Baptist Church is God-caused. Now, here's what I mean by that. I believe it is God himself that put it in the hearts of our founding members to start Westwood Baptist Church. And I believe that God is the reason, and that God alone is the reason, that we have gone from just a handful of people in 1987 to what we have today. God is the reason for that. I believe it is God that put it in our hearts to start a Christian school with only 9 students that has grown to a school of almost 200. I believe God did that. I believe it is God that has put it in our hearts to support 67 missionaries and 4 other missionary projects. I believe it is God that put it in our hearts to have an Awana ministry where children can be taught the Word of God. To have an RU ministry where those that are struggling with addictions can be ministered to. To have a bus ministry where boys and girls can come and hear the Word of God. I believe that everything that we have was put in our hearts by God. I think the vision has been put in our hearts by God. In our very first sermon this month, I did a sermon titled, What If Money Were No Object? And I shared with you part of my vision and the vision of the staff. I believe it is God that has put that vision in our hearts. I really do. You know, back in 1987, 2 churches merged to form Westwood Baptist Church. There was New Testament Baptist Church, and there was Maud Street Baptist Church. And these 2 churches came together, and when they did, there was about 75 people. And God gave them a vision of doing something great for the honor and for the glory of God. And I believe it is their vision that has brought us to where we're at today. And they must feel such a sense of gratitude to God for what they see today. I wonder if any of those founding members are here with us today. I know John and Mary, you were founding members. Would you please stand? Is Dean and Connie Potts here today? Are they here today? I know they were founding members. Are there any other founding members? Would you all please stand? Mike and Charlotte, Sherry Rush, any other founding members? Ronnie was a founding member. Are there any other founding members here today? Pauline, where are you at? Are you able to stand? That's all right. Just remain seated. Thank you, Miss Pauline. Oh, you are standing. Thank you, Miss Pauline. Listen. I thank God that he put the vision in your heart for what we see today. And I'm sure that looking back, you can see that God has done above and beyond what you could ask or think. Praise God that the need that we have is God-caused. How about a nice round of applause for these founding members? Thank you. God bless you. Listen, I believe that everything that we have today is the result of 3 things. Number 1, the sacrifices of those that have gone before us. Number 2, God's blessings upon this ministry in the past. And number 3, the vision that God has put into our hearts for the future. The need was God-caused. And I believe that our need is God-caused. And when you give to the Lord, when you give to Westwood Baptist Church, you can give with confidence that you're giving to a ministry where souls are being saved and where lives are being changed. I think about how just recently Brother Carlstrom was saved and baptized, 88 years old, saved and baptized. And then I think of how we have recently baptized some of our bus kids, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. Hey, whether you're 8 or 80, it's never too late to get saved. And God is saving souls through the ministry of this church. The need is God-caused. Amen? Amen. Number 2, The second principle is this. The giving potential was God provided. The giving potential was God provided. Now, here's what I mean by that. After God created the need, he provided a way for the people to meet that need. Now, you may wonder, well, where do these people get all these things to give in the offering? I mean, this people group have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And I'm sure you know slaves don't have money. Slaves don't have gold and silver and precious stones. Slaves don't have beautiful fabrics. Slaves don't have these precious stones that were given. So where in the world did they get these things? Well, I'll tell you, God had a plan for that too. Do you know where they got the things that they gave in the offering? And I love this. They got it from the Egyptians before they left. Go back, if you would, to chapter 11. Go back to chapter 11. Anybody can preach the Bible forwards. I'm preaching it backwards. That's another one, Jenny, for you to put on your webpage. All right, chapter 11. Go to chapter 11 and look at verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people what, church? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. I just talked about how the priest family received God's favor in the purchase of their home. Well, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now, do you know how they built the tabernacle? On Egyptian money. You say, well, that's not right. They stole that money. Oh, no, that's not what's happening here. I'll tell you what's happening here. God is giving them 400 years of back wages. For 400 years, this people group has built homes and palaces and pyramids for the Egyptians. And they have felt the stripes on their back of the taskmaster's whips. And now God is giving this one generation 400 years of back wages. And by the way, the Egyptians were anxious to give it after the 10 plagues. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? Get out of here. They were glad to give it. Now, what's the principle? Here it is. The principle is this. Long before the need was created, God had a plan to meet that need through his people. And I want to challenge us today that whatever God has brought into the hands of each of us up to this point, is it possible that God has given some of it or all of it, not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving? I want to read to you the true story of a millionaire giver. It goes like this. A few years ago, I heard a man named Steve from California speak at a Christian conference. He told the story about how he and his wife became millionaire givers. Steve owned a small business and made about $50,000 a year. He went to a Campus Crusade for Christ conference and heard Dr. Bill Bright challenge the audience to give $1 million to the Lord's work. After the message, he went up to Dr. Bright and asked, "Obviously, you didn't really mean that my wife and I should be included in the people that give $1 million to the Lord's work." Dr. Bright asked, "How much did you make last year?" Steve said, $50,000. Dr. Bright asked, "How much did you give to the Lord last year?" Steve said, $15,000. Steve thought Dr. Bright would be impressed that they gave more than 25% of their income to the Lord's work. Dr. Bright said, "Well, next year, trust God to allow you to give $50,000. But Steve said, "That's my entire salary." Dr. Bright said, "Trust God that if he provides you with the funds, give $50,000. Steve went home, and amazingly, his little business did well. He made $100,000 that year. He and his young family lived on their $50,000 salary, and they gave $50,000 to the Lord's work. The next year, by faith, they pledged to themselves and the Lord that they would continue to live on $50,000, but to seek to give $100,000 to the Lord's work if God provided it. Amazingly, through some unbelievable circumstances and a great test of faith, they were able to give $100,000 that year. Each year, they continued to live on their basic salary of $50,000 and give anything above that to the Lord's work. And believe it or not, within 5 years, they had given over $1 million to the Lord. Sometimes God gives us more income not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. And so I would challenge us today to look at what God has blessed us with and to place any of it or all of it at God's disposal. We may have thought that God gave it to us for this reason or for that reason, but could it be that God gave that to us in order to build his kingdom and in order to further the cause of Christ? All right, quickly, let me give you a third principle, and that is this. The details of the offering were God-directed. The details of the offering were God-directed. If you would, go back to chapter 35. Go back to Exodus. You're in chapter 11. Go all the way back to chapter 35. And I want to show you real quickly how the details of this offering were God-directed, all right? Go to chapter 35, and notice what it says in verse number 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. So I want to say, number one, it was a free will offering. It was a free will offering. Jump down, if you would, to verse number 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were what, church? Willing hearted. Jump down to verse number 29. The children of Israel brought a what? A willing offering unto the Lord. Over and over again it says that they gave because they wanted to. Now listen, they were not pressured, they were not coerced, and they were not made to feel guilty. Every once in a while I'll turn on Christian television and I will see that they're having what they call a praise-a-thon in order to raise money. I don't call it a praise-a-thon, I call it a con-a-thon. Because they are literally conning people into giving money by either, number one, coercing them, or by pressuring them, or by making them feel guilty, or by making all sorts of outlandish promises. I've heard them say, if you send $1,000 to this ministry, God's going to heal your marriage if it's on the rocks. I've heard them say, if you give $1,000 to this ministry, God's going to save your wayward child and bring him back to the Lord. I've heard them make all sorts of outlandish promises. And I want to tell you, nobody believes in the laws of the harvest more than I do. But I don't think it's right to make people these kinds of promises when you really don't have the authority to make them. That's between them and God. I think that people should give willingly, and I think they should give out of a heart of love. Yes, I believe that you can expect to be blessed for giving, but that shouldn't be our primary motivation. Our primary motivation ought to be a love for the Lord. Amen? And that's why Brother Tom said that the tithe is the debt that we owe, but the offering is a gift that we bestow. And when we bestow an offering to the Lord, I believe it ought to be of a willing heart. I can't stress enough how many times it says in this passage that the people gave willingly, that they gave willingly. I had a preacher years ago that used to say this during the offering, Stephen. The ushers would come forward. And he would say, now, church, he would say, God loves a cheerful giver, but we'll take it from any old grouch. Well, may I say, I don't believe that. Amen? I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say this. If you can't give it willingly and if you can't give it cheerfully, it would probably be better that you didn't give it. For the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Number two, it was a revealed offering. God revealed to the people what he wanted them to do. Notice what it says in chapter 35 and verse number 10. Chapter 35 and verse number 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord what? Hath commanded. Would you look this way and I'll close with this. Years ago, a man came here to speak. It's been 10 years now, and his name was Rick Blue. I don't know if y'all remember Brother Rick or not, but Brother Rick came and gave a testimony about how God spoke to his heart about giving an offering to the Lord. He was pastoring a church, and he had in a guest speaker who was considered to be an expert on the subject of biblical finances. And he had this man come in and speak because he was going to receive a building fund offering for his church. They were building a new building. And the guest speaker asked Rick privately, how much do you plan to give? And Brother Rick said, well, he kind of smiled and he said, for the first time in our married life, my wife and I actually have a savings account. We've never had one before. And we now have a savings account of $10,000. And he said, we're going to give half of it to the building fund. He expected this man to applaud. But instead, the man said, have you prayed about that? Brother Rick said, well, I don't need to pray about it. I mean, I feel like that's a generous gift. And the man said, just do me one favor, pray about it. So Rick Blue said, all right. So he went into his den that night and he started praying. Just a couple of years earlier, his daughter was attending Crown College. Where is Crown? I forget. Tennessee? What town? Powell, Tennessee. His daughter was attending Crown College. She was in one of these tour groups that travels from church to church singing. And the bus had an accident. Several of the young people from Crown College were killed. His daughter was one of them. And he said, that night I was in my den praying and God reminded me of something. God said, Rick, do you remember when your daughter died in that bus accident? And do you remember, Rick, you said to me that you would give everything you own if you could just wake up the next day and find out that this had all been a bad dream and that it didn't really happen? He said, Rick, let me ask you a question. Do you love your daughter more than you love me? Rick said, I got up off my knees. I walked into the kitchen where my wife was, and I said, I've got something to tell you, kind of sheepishly. She said, I know, we're supposed to give the whole $10,000. He said, how do you know? She said, God told me to. So he said, they just committed right then and there. They'd give the whole $10,000. Well, he said, next day he was driving down the road, and he said, for the first time in his life, he was able to afford a nice car. And said that he had made the last payment. He had it paid for. He was so excited. And he said it wasn't quite paid for. He said he had about $5,000 worth of equity in it. And he said he was driving down the road. And he said all of a sudden he saw another guy go by in his dream car. Now, I don't know what his dream car would have been. For me, it would have been a 1969 Dodge Charger. That's my dream car. My brother had one when I was in high school. And occasionally he'd let me drive it. And I've wanted one ever since. And so he said, for me, it'd be a 69 Charger. I don't know what his dream car was, but he said his dream car went by, and he said all of a sudden he thought to himself, I don't have to drive a car this nice. I wonder if I could sell it and give the equity with my offering. He said, I put the car up for sale. He said it sold immediately. He said, I was able to buy a cheaper car that wasn't very nice, but it ran, and I had $5,000 exactly left over. He said, now I've got $15,000 to give in the offering. He said, man, I was getting excited. He said, the next day, I remembered that I had a gold coin collection that somebody had given me. He had inherited it years before. And he said, I wonder what I could get for those. I don't need those. They're just sitting there gathering dust. So he said, I took it to a coin dealer and said it was a Jewish man. And I had him look at the coins. And I said, what would you give me for these? He said, the man looked at them carefully and said, $4,000. And Rick said, it's got to be five. And the Jewish man says, but they're only worth four. And God said, and Rick said, yeah, but God's doing something in my life right now, and he seems to be working in $5,000 increments. He said, it's got to be five. And the jeweler said, well, why are you selling them? And Rick explained to him that they were raising money for their church building. This man wasn't even saved. He was a Jew and not a completed Jew. And he said, I told the man the story about how we were raising money for our building. Then I told him the story about how God spoke to my heart about how my daughter had died in a bus wreck and how God had asked me, do you love her more than you love me? And how I committed to God that I would give him everything and how God has been blessing me in $5,000 increments in order to give to the building fund. and said by the time he finished telling his story, tears were streaming down this Jewish man's face. And the Jewish man said, 2 years ago, I had a daughter that died. But they're only worth $4,000. He said, however, I'd like to give you the other 1,000 out of my own pocket to give for you to give to your church. And he said he walked out that day with another $5,000. Now, the point is this. When we ask God what he wants us to do, I believe with all of my heart that God is capable of revealing it to us. So I would ask you to pray about this card. Pray about it. Most of us just fill it in without even thinking. Well, we'll just do what we did last year, maybe a little more. Pray about it. You may be surprised at what God tells you to do. Now, what have we learned today? We've learned that in this offering, the need was God-caused. We've learned that the giving potential was God-provided. And we've learned that the details of the offering was God-directed. Now, folks, listen. God's methods may change, but his principles never change. Amen? Amen.